Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
And welcome to our relatively irregular Wednesday stream. I'm afraid it has different sides. That's why it's irregular.
Well, I had important things to do yesterday, like play snooker and stuff.
Yes, lots of snooker to play.
So we couldn't stream yesterday. That'd have been a bit of a hard multitask.
That'd have been a hard thing to stream whilst doing snooker.
How am I meant to talk about Camilla Gablage and also like knock in like three reds and three blacks?
Ah, yes. We did have some clips of news presenters trying to pronounce her name, but it's going to be long enough in the tooth anyway.
Yes.
It's like them doing the whole Afghanistan thing. Today in Afghanistan.
Anyway,
the weather report is it's actually been dry for a little bit.
It's also very windy though.
It's really windy. I don't know why it's so windy. It should be
also,
less windy.
Importantly,
yeah.
Heblo.
Hello to all the tiny people once again in our computer. I'm glad to see that you're still in there, but I'm very, very concerned.
As much
about
as I'm impressed that people watch these streams and there's popularity in them, I'm mildly concerned about the welfare of the little people in there if there gets to be too many of them.
There is an Ooga and also a Booga in the chat. But yes, the build-up of tiny people in the computer could be deadly.
What we should do is we should start a charity welfare of the tiny people inside our computer. And you need to give us millions of pounds every year to make sure that these people are okay and you can totally trust us.
Got it. For those, well, I'll stay on the thumbnail for a bit because it's quite illustrative of a point. But for those who don't know what Kids Company was, most people didn't for its entire existence and its entire collapse.
For Kids Company, though,
yes.
We shall, yes. For sure, we shall.
Thank you for the super sticker there, Lamented Guy, the only person who ever uses that feature. So thank you for that. Thank you for the $10. We are still monetized on YouTube somehow. So if you guys want to support us, you can do it through that. There is also the Ko-Fi.
And you can also, if you've somehow managed to not do so already, buy book. And if you've already bought book, get more people to buy book.
Yes,
book is very important.
We've pinned the message in there. We might show that at some point, but that's our condensed shilling.
And then there's also the Substack and whatever else.
There'll be. I promised a piece on Friday on the Substack. I couldn't do it. I've been ill. I also expanded it out a bit, but there will be another Substack piece this week because it's basically finished. I think you guys will enjoy it. So do keep an eye on the Substack. We do put this as an ad-free podcast in there as well. If you want to support us on there, but we do also put up more written pieces. And I'm sorry that my written piece from Friday is late. My homework is late, guys. Sorry.
Where's your homework?
No.
Did the dog eat it?
No, the dog didn't eat it. I extended my own homework. Kids Company. What was Kids Company? Well, as we'll get to, it was a boilerplate-seeming, celebrity-supported, government-linked children's charity that offered services to quote-unquote vulnerable children.
Yes, I mean, to be fair, we could have, it's not our sort of thing to do, but we could have really made this like a Britcore, like, don't you remember 2006 kind of thing? And there'll be a little bit of that. But for those who have some spare time after this, just go look at this as like a phenomena.
Yes.
And then if you really want to learn to hate these people, go look at the art this woman is, the art exhibitions this woman supported putting together.
It's all very, there's a lot of different rabbit holes we could go down here. But for a 400-foot view, what happened was a large children's charity went bust.
Yes.
And the reaction to it, in multiple different ways, ended up as an exercise in the charity sector and the legal framework around it, protecting itself, its reputation, and creating a process that meant none of this ever got resolved.
Yes.
If you don't think you know what Kids Company was, how it was resolved, even if you were there at the time, you're not unique. Nobody does. It is a impenetrable from the outside swarm of he said, she said, charity sector backbiting. But underneath it is a great demonstration of how sewn up all of this is.
Yes.
How top down all aspects of our society are. And the fact that we have an elite class who are not allowed to fail and are extremely adept at wasting everyone's time when they get caught with their hands in the till or performatively supporting things that are effectively a giant money sink.
And I think it's worth prefacing this stream as well with the fact that this is not a total treatment of the Charities Commission nor a universal presentation on all charities.
We'll be getting to that.
I think as we go through a lot of this, some of the charities and foundations people have problems with in Britain and how the attempt to combat them should consider in mind what we are going to show them through the story of Kids' Company and how they might want to combat charities in future.
Yes, that is also a quite important aspect of that.
But Kids' Company was established in 1996 by one Camilla Batman Gaelidge.
Yes,
we're going to get to pronouncing that correctly.
This is a post-mortem from the University of Birmingham. Mm. The collapse of Kids' Company, a settling of accounts, yes.
Shall I just read a bit of this then for a
Yeah, context? Yeah, this is actually quite a good intro, that's why I read it first.
To work with severely disadvantaged young people, it became insolvent and closed its door in August 2015. I mean, as a bit of extra context here, Batman Gaelidge was a woman who described herself as operating very much in a purely therapeutic sort of sphere of operation.
Yes.
Somewhere between hypnosis, psychotherapy, and total pseudoscience sort of sociology bollocks.
She was always sold as a psychotherapist.
Mm.
There's that little image we've gotten in the top corner of her to keep you reminded of this.
She's floating and using her weird powers. I hadn't even noticed that.
Yeah, she's brilliant. Using her bizarre powers, but I'll snip back at the thumbnail, but she always wore these ridiculous outfits that look like they're not the traditional dress of anyone, and I am convinced that she wore these outfits to be nondescriptly ethnic in a way that all groups could relate to, and white people found baffling but generically ethnic.
This is also, I think, as well, a great example of the sort of political canoodling and sort of bullshit we get from the leftist Iranian diaspora, which is a big thing AA goes into at some point. So this is a perfect example of this forum.
There's a lot to unpack here. We'll go into some of her background later, but this is a bit more of the border plate stuff of the
charity. It closed its doors in August 2015. This came after an apparent standoff with the UK government over funding, close media attention, and finally the announcement of a police investigation over allegations of physical and sexual abuse at the charity. There has been no shortage of analysis attempting to make sense of what is a very sorry tale. It is a case of a charismatic chief executive who was very good at fundraising but unable to manage the work and finances of a complex multi-million pound operation. Or a case of a charity unwilling to turn vulnerable young people away and overwhelmed as a result. Or perhaps the trustees were at fault for not taking responsibility for the organisation's direction and fragile financial model. Or a government minister's guilty of boosting and then betraying a once-favoured charity.
Notice the flooding of the zone of narratives here. Mm. What this is really a story about is how the interface between charity and government is awful. It doesn't work, but keep going.
Few people associated with the charity's demise seem to come out well, and individual reputations have been tarnished. Rather damningly, relatively little is being heard by or about the young people the charity was aiming to support. And I want to reiterate as well for listeners not in the UK or possibly slightly younger than myself, this woman was everywhere at one point.
Yes.
Kids' Company was, for some bizarre reason, it was the charity you had to support. Oasis gave it money. Morgan Stanley gave it money. All these different TV sort of celebrities and daytime TV personalities all had their little bit or their little tribute or their little bit of money they gave. And these people were all clients of Kids Company, as it were, as the integrated into its structure for facilitating education for children that were deemed uneducatable. And stopping people sending into states of savagery.
Well, so it goes on to say about claim and counterclaim, but in here it does say an interesting thing which I can't quite find right now. I think this is actually a shorter version.
Are you looking for possibly the third way or the big societies, David Cameron?
Yes, here it is. In doing so, it gained friends in high places, including politicians keen to promote third way or big society voluntary action beyond the state and market. I was going to make right at the beginning of our little YouTube career here, I tried to talk about the hugger hoodie thing.
Mm.
And most people had no idea what I was talking about. But the big society hugger hoodie, cast your mind back to this is the liberal height of the Cameron administration. 2013 is the Gay Marriage Equality Act is already in. This is full luxury gay Cameronism.
And I think as well, it's an important point to make here that as much as Kids Company itself was not an aspect of Blairism, it was something that very much became integrated in governance during the Blairite period.
Yes.
And both in terms of the narrative that something like that was trying to portray and functionally the structure that it had in relation to the government was something at this period of time Cameronites, or whatever you want to call them, were trying to carry on.
Yes.
This was an attempt to carry that sort of lineage on. But, and we can see throughout this how badly that effort went.
Well, again, what this became was an exercise in the defence, actually a two-sided defence, in my opinion, of the charity sector as a whole.
Yes.
And all of the legal stuff and all of the interface around it. And the anarcho-tyranny of the fact that to operate as a registered charity in this country is basically impossible unless the government gives you, gives you carte blanche, do what you want.
Yes.
There are people who are given carte blanche, do what they want, and there are people who don't run charities. And never the two shall meet.
And I think as well as the last bit of context where we start to get more into the specific examples of this, I think it's worth considering, as it's written about here, that we should consider this not just from the lens of, oh, charities and social progress and singular NGOs, but that fundamentally for the sort of people who work for something like the Charity Commission or an aspect of the civil service, studying this situation so it can't happen again is very important. I mean, that's why, as it's asking the question here, as such, its apparent success in responding to social policy failure was a product of its and our times. It also shows perhaps the perils for voluntary organisations in getting close to both government and the media, as things can turn awry very quickly indeed. In fact, it sits within much more intense and critical media and government scrutiny of the work of charities of late, covering, for example, salaries, fundraising, deals with private companies, and most recently the use of public funds for campaigning.
Yes. There was a huge thing here where it turned out that basically all the charities in the UK that were large were just government departments.
Mm.
They signed a whole bunch of effectively diversity propaganda agreements with the Blairite government and were handed large amounts of public money.
Yes.
We'll get into the charity industrial complex proper, not in this stream.
But again,
this is a good introduction to
it. It's worth reiterating the fact that this is not a bug of the British charity system. This is a feature.
Yes, this is largely, really, we'll reiterate this again, a children's charity that was operating in a way that was not uncommon to the charity sector. It was also mismanaged and routinely lied about levels of services provided and where the funds goes. This was ignored due to celebrities and establishment figures using its image for a credibility and goodwill. Notably, the fact that it was chaired, as we'll get to, by Alan Yentob.
BBC creator.
Yeah, whilst he was also the head of the BBC. Mm. The thing is, he's being BBC creative director. He's basically Vladimir Putin for the BBC.
Oh, he just creates another position and then adopts it. Yes.
Yes. He is the ultimate BBC Zionist backstop.
Reich Chancellor.
Yeah, and nobody likes him.
Let's see, for a bit of a laugh, what have we got in here?
This section just called The Cult of Camilla, because really how this functions is Camilla Batman Gaelic newsreaders fawning over her ethnic name is the ultimate, like, late 90s Blairite fundraising figure. I mean, your instinct tells you that this person's a scam artist. And it turns out she was a scam artist, as we'll get to. There's been a lot of revisionism, but yes, spoiler alert, this woman stole loads of people's money and spent it on herself. You can tell by looking at her. But we're not... The thing I want to do here is we're not allowed to do this maths anymore. We're not allowed to go foreign person with funny outfit and unpronounceable name...
Equals scams.
Yeah, equals scams.
Remember Fake Sheikh?
Yeah, you have that inverted, unpronounceable foreign name and awry clothing equals you cannot suspect this person, otherwise you'll be driven from polite society. Anyways. Yes.
Kids Company charity founder and social justice campaigner Camilla Batman Gaelidge has died, age 61.
I know they've stopped calling her a psychotherapist at this point.
The Iranian-Belgian... work that one out, if you will, started a charity in 1996 in South London to provide support to up to 36,000 deprived and vulnerable inner-city children and young people. I love, by the way, that part of the way they came up with that number...
Up to?
No. Part of the way they came up with that estimate was that if four people in a school of 1,200 were receiving treatment from Kids Company, they considered all 1,200 pupils to be under their care because they were... benefiting from the knock-on effects.
Is that true?
Yes.
Gee, yes. And when you look at care provision for charities like this, that's the kind of shit you can counter. Those are the kind of numbers you come up with. As we'll get to, Kids Company possibly wasn't actually a child farm for nonces. Possibly.
Possibly. No.
But only...
It's not that it wasn't. It's that it possibly wasn't.
Yes, but only because it possibly didn't interact with children
at all.
Yeah. In 2015, she stepped down from Kids Company amid allegations of mismanagement, but a high court cleared her of wrongdoing. She died on Monday, her birthday, having been ill for some time. How did they know it was her birthday? Because her Wikipedia says she had no birthday and no birth certificate.
Yeah.
Miss Batman Gaelic is said to have spent her last Christmas at home wrapping
up presents for vulnerable children. Yeah, as we'll see, she was not cleared of wrongdoing.
A family statement shared with the Guardian newspaper said she died peacefully in her sleep on night of 1 January after celebrating her birthday with loved ones. No, she's on Epstein fucking Island. I now understand what you're saying about some of the stuff about this is massive schizo bait.
Yeah.
Because some of these facts completely go against what's said elsewhere about her biography and her own personal details, which is just hilarious.
Yep, like, it's completely impenetrable in many places. But this shows you just the fawning tone. I mean, this alone should tell you that this person's... That the BBC saying this about someone basically guarantees that they're evil. But anyway, more of the... This is actually from the Design Museum.
Aww.
And it seems to be completely not updated. It talks about her like she... Like the scandal hasn't happened and like she's still current. But her bio says...
Oh, they've got the place to be stuff thing then there
as
well.
Yes, yes.
It employs more than 600 staff, benefits from some 11,000 volunteers annually and reaches 36,000 children a year.
There's that number again.
Therapeutic care in London and Bristol. This again. Must be pre them doing this stuff in Liverpool as well then.
Yes. Divide that by about 1,200 and that's the actual number.
Batman Gaelic trained as a psychotherapist and worked in psychoanalysis for 20 years.
Completely dubious.
Yeah. No,
Where's the certification? In fact, the inquiries said that nobody had any qualifications to do with psychotherapy at all.
I love the attempt to make this sound like she's made a life choice here as well. Worked in psychoanalysis for 20 years and has become an advocate for vulnerable children.
She was named Businesswoman of the Year by Dodds and Scottish Widows Public Life Awards, received Ernest Young Social Entrepreneur of the Year Award and Lifetime Achievement Award from the Social Justice... Her prizes! Look at all the prizes they awarded her!
Kids Company...
Surely that means she's a worthwhile... Look at all the prizes! Sorry, go on.
Kids Company has been awarded the Human Rights Award by Liberty and Justice and the Award for Innovative Excellence by Psychoanalytic Psychotherapy Now. Kids Company currently has a partnership with the University of Cambridge and UCL involving research into neurodevelopmental trauma. No, it doesn't.
No. But all this is a giant, as we'll come to, is a giant fugazi in aim of what we're about to see.
Yep.
Here's another one, again.
Bella Freud.
It's just the opening, Camilla Batman Gaelic.
I had tears in my eyes when I read an interview with Camilla Batman Gaelic. It moved me, the way she spoke about the young people she worked with through her charity Kids Company. Her emphasis on listening to them and behaving in a respectful way.
Not allowed in the pool!
Even when some kids smashed up her first office. Laughing, she said they came back the next day out of curiosity and she invited them in. They couldn't believe she looked so calm and delighted when she told them me this snippet. Camilla had a way with young people, especially with children from the most damaged background. She was straight talking and never patronised. Nothing shocked her. Her heart had expanding walls, as did her fucking sides.
As did her stomach. But this is the fawning tone. Look at this spell.
She wasn't overwhelmed or fazed by the endless shocking abuses the children confided in her.
He was an early proponent of addressing the... Anyway, just the fawning cult-like tone that she was talked about before.
I hope I'm not the only person that, like, something about all this just gives me massive heebie-jeebies.
It actually does, like, it's... The whole thing is kind of physically disgusting. And the fact we'll never know what really went on there is one of the more disgusting parts.
But... Yes, Obviously, Camilla's father, Ferreiro Don, Batman Gaelic
was a quack. He was a scam artist. He sold people salt concentrates and told them to drink lots of water, that would solve all their problems.
I mean, fair, as an HIV and AIDS denialist, he was at least onto one thing.
Oh, no, they only used that as like a headline thing.
Yeah, I gather that. Pull one out for Batman. What a public figure. Thank you, Mr. Shrubbery, for your $20.
Yes, thank you for the $20, Shrubbery. But her father was a scam artist, and basically her mother's an unknown woman.
Yes. Some woman called Lucille, a Belgian.
That's it. That's all we know. Her father was an Iranian diaspora quack who was a scammer, a fellow scammer. It seems being a dirty, dirty scammer runs in the family. And as we'll get to, no, she was never exonerated. As I read more about this, the leftist press we'll get to near the end where they talk about all this revisionist stuff just makes me angrier.
But I think you've got an example here. Now, this is not maybe the best.
Well, it's not the best format. But we'll tell you what, we'll go back to the thumbnail.
We'll put it up anyway to show the fact that we are reading from this.
This is written evidence from committees.parliament.uk. This is a great example of the way Kids Company was run. This is it's from parliamentary evidence, and it's them fleecing wide-eyed boomers out of their inheritance. And then this woman was completely taken in. She talks about before the section, we'll quote here, about the fact she'd given her house over to them to sell.
Mm.
She'd given them another £200,000. And she'd even gone as far as a volunteer for them.
Yes.
And that's when the whole story started to fall apart.
But she had literally, after a meeting, I think personally with Mrs. Batman Gaelic, been convinced into handing over quite an expensive family home that are sort of later children who now in their 30s and 40s no longer required.
Well, she also talks about the fact that they the numbers that she was quoted, they talk about feeding 3,000 children, were allegedly fed every week. My colleagues and I shared sandwiches in the dining hall. It could only seat 60 or 70 people, and the chef only worked between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Yes, I mean, the statements in here are just so mind-boggling, but make a perfect image of how these sort of very upper middle class, not quite elite figures get completely taken by these charities.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I still remained loyal to my perception of the charity as a genuine work of love, a view held also by many of the great and good, such as Joanna Lumley, David and Samantha Cameron, HRH the Prince of Wales, and many others. Oh, but Joanna Lumley said it was okay.
Well, I was shown a new adventure playground. "This is where your money went," said my guide. "Called the Venture, it was perhaps half an acre of scruffy grass and contained a mound with a slide. Children played with water or sat and painted inside a club building. A brief walk away, the Morgan Stanley House, the Heart Yard, was full of rooms, many with couches or beds for relaxation or counselling, but most of them empty of people. Gay young men seem to be in charge."
Can we just pause for a second as well? I wonder what the implication is in there, given the fact that this, as we'll get in context, is a 76-year-old woman who has just decided to mention the proliferation of empty rooms with beds and couches, and then also the fact that this place was primarily staffed by young gay men. We'll just leave those facts to the side there. Would you like me to carry on with this?
Yeah.
"My colleague said, maybe the alarm system would not allow me to have stayed there. Stubbornly, wanting to believe my money had gone to a worthy cause, at the end of the week I returned to Lincolnshire," which is, I believe, where other household "But the doubts began to harden. Why had Camilla not even spoken to me on the phone? Not many pensioners return to work in London at the age of 76, and not in such hot conditions. Surely a brief word of thanks, or at least a polite inquiry about the work and how I had found it. And how could they possibly feed 3,000 children at Kenbury Street on a weekly basis? A later visit on my own to Kenbury Street found the chef works from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. Outside in the street, a young black woman was ranting on a mobile phone about Kids Company. 'Do you have a problem with Kids Company?' I asked. She shouted, 'You pay me more than Camilla, and I tell you all about Kids Company,' was the reply."
After the collapse of Kids Company, this is giving you a bit of a flavour here. There was a BBC documentary made.
This BBC documentary, if this is the 2015 one, happened as...
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, literally weeks before they filmed some of this, and then it went tits up.
Yeah, they were filming a documentary about Kids Company as it went tits up. And this is just I would like you to watch this.
This was the story Lawrence didn't want to talk about.
What is going on? I'm feeling uncomfortable.
About what?
Well, because you wanted me here as an independent observer. And
yeah.
I feel I have to ask you.
Ask me anything you want. What would you like to ask?
Well, you know, I thought this was a charity for disadvantaged children.
It is.
Could you not have found another house without a swimming pool? I mean, it was that... I mean, in retrospect...
Well...
Do you not think that that was not... That was an error of judgment?
Again, I didn't think about it. I didn't think about it in terms of what outsiders would think. I made sure that I rented the swimming pool separately. And it's not a luxury pool. It's a pool the size of this floor.
For the last 30 years... Camilla herself has lived in a modest two-bedroom flat.
We wanted to have somewhere for the kids who are very traumatised to live without the possibility of getting attacked. Come to the mansion swimming pool, Lynn. There's another door. There you are, darling. Go and have a look.
Camilla said she'd paid £1,000 a year for use of the pool. She denied reports the five-bedroom house wasn't always fully occupied.
There we go. It's just all that stuff. It's just all that stuff.
Double check in the chat, make sure we've got the audio for that correctly. We don't tend to play clips, so hopefully that wasn't too loud for people.
No.
I absolutely love the fact that she's like, well, it's not a luxury pool. Absolutely no way is it a luxury pool.
And it actually turns out, it turned out later that she'd given instructions that the children couldn't use the pool and that it was her pool.
Mm.
It's like such a... I look out for the children, but I rent a giant mansion... that I live in myself and I have exclusive use of the pool for.
Yes, I'm enjoying some of the people in chat as well who I presume have never seen or heard of this woman whatever before. And they go, what the hell's with the accent?
Yes, she has like a weird, like, fake psychopath voice.
Yeah.
The only way you can describe it.
She obviously strikes me as someone who I think's clearly very switched on.
Yeah.
To a lot of social cues, a lot of the way she speaks, a lot of the mannerisms she has are, I think, very much based on looking like an innocent fat woman.
I would say, an example I want to bring up is the whole Captain Tom charity thing.
Yes, during COVID.
Yes, because these were outsiders. And what happens when outsiders create charities and treat themselves like...
Camilla Batman-Gaylich did.
They got pulled up on it.
Yes.
And it's a great example that elite support is the only way that you can run one of these charities, because all of these charities have these disgusting amounts just spent either on admin or on the people who are on the boards.
But this is only the swimming pool's only one bit.
Yes,
there is a smorgasbord of examples, too many to actually put in this stream and make it like consumable.
The big thing. And the high level picture of this is that Kids Company did not keep accounts.
Mm.
Kids Company kept basically no accounts.
Yes.
For the extremely large amounts, as we get to, of government money that it took in. But what we do know is that Camilla had her own chauffeur, and the chauffeur's daughter had boarding school fees paid by Kids Company.
Well, the thing as well, and I noticed this looking at not necessarily the select committee, but I believe the charity commission
report. Yes.
I think it's the audit prior to.
There's been so many as we'll get to.
I think this is from about 2006 right up until about 2013, where they are spending something like nearly 100% of their monthly intake back out.
Yes.
And it based on what they're trying to suggest is that as a charity, what it means is you're always at risk of insolvency. But clearly what that demonstrates to me is that money in, money out.
Yeah.
It's being washed.
Yes.
You know, the straight away, if you had an organisation of this scale under your control, or even if you were a board member or a trustee on it, and that much money was going in and out at that rate of circulation, be pulled in and done for bloody some sort of embezzlement or money laundering investigation almost instantly. Never mind the fact that all this stuff's gone on at the same bloody time.
Well, here we go. The big thing here is the fact that $47 million in public funds were given to a charity they knew to be unstable and incapable of keeping financial records. Let's just jump to that. Here's the key findings of the National Audit Office's investigation into the government funding of Kids Company.
Received at least £46 million of public funding, £42 million in central government grants and £2 million from local authorities and £2 million in grants from a number of lottery bodies. The majority of the funding, £28 million, came directly from the Department of Education and its predecessors, the Cabinet Office, the Department for Work and Pensions, Department for Communities and Local Government, and the Department of Health also made significant contributions between 2013 and 2015. In addition, Kids Company accounts for the 2003 report that, Inland Revenue, now HMRC, wrote off tax debts of over £500,000. Kids Company received larger grants than any other charity from Department for Education's grant programs. In 2008 and 2011, Kids Company successfully bid for funding under competitive grant programs and was awarded a total of $21.7 million, the largest amount that any charity received under either program. In 2008, Kids Company received 20% of the available funding for the grant program. The remainder was shared between 42 other charities. In 2011, Kids Company received over twice the amount received by any other grant recipient. So someone had picked a winner here.
Yes.
For some reason, not entirely, I think, known to us, we could speculate.
Yeah.
It was basically picked as a winner, wasn't it? This was meant to be the sort of crowning jewel in the charity complex to demonstrate that you can throw money at social problems and fix them.
You've got a psychotherapist, half Iranian with a crazy fat woman with a crazy outfit on, and you've got everything. You've got Alan Yentob on the board. Mm. Kids Company had not competed for its annual grant since 2013 after it failed to win grants through the competitive process the Department for Education made a public interest case for, continuing to fund Kids Company outside of the comprehensive process due to the precedent DfE had funded the charities in sunk cost, basically. The quality of the work of Kids Company did, which doesn't exist. Mm. We never found any of it. What you'll find is that as soon as Kids Company was asked where its money went, they went, but the children.
Mm.
We'll get to Alan Yentob doing that soon, guys. Don't worry. Ministers asked the Department of Education to coordinate a 2-year cross-government grant. So they didn't win in the bidding process and still got it. Government was aware that Kids Company relied on government grants to manage cash flow. The charity requested early payment for grants in December 2013-2014. Government agreed to these requests and paid the whole annual grant for 2015-2016 in April 2015, rather than quarterly as in previous years. That sounds like money laundering. But that is absolutely insane. Mm. If you know anything about how charities are supposed to operate and how the government's supposed to give people money, that is mental.
I just want to reiterate.
And then here we go. Until 2013, the government relied heavily on Kids Company's self-assessment to monitor its performance. So go on.
I just want to reiterate, when you sit there and think, we need to engage in lawfare against Hope Not Hate or the Roundtree Foundation or something like that, this is what you're up against. Even when the Charity Commission itself decides that it needs to get rid of one of these things, like a bloody diseased limb, it still isn't really that capable of doing it on its own behalf.
But no. Then
this, of course, comes in partially, I believe, because of the people who were involved, not just in terms of Yentob, but as you've got here, this was an integral sort of part of the narrative piece of David and David Cameron's whole
Kids
Big Society.
Yeah. Oh, God, where's the image gone there?
There he is. Mr. Cameron looking sad. David Cameron defends $3 million grant to close charity. And him and David and his wife, Samantha, use this as a huge promotional point. Yeah. It was right to give them one last chance for... I know we gave public money to this fat, scamming, possibly Iranian woman with an unpronounceable name, but we thought we should give her one last chance.
I kind of like this admittance of defeat here, though. Meanwhile, the charity supporters have taken part in a march in London. About 150 people walked from the charity's former centre to Parliament.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not... Where are these thousands of families that are being supported? Where are they?
We could get more people to march in London.
Yes, we could do. £46 million pounds worth of public funding.
But I think this...
Who are the people that Kids Company helped? Where are they?
But I think part of that is just a demonstration. This is obviously all PR.
Yeah.
It's all PR and then maybe possibly whatever else was going on at the same time.
Anyway, we have quite a lot to get through here. There's also Prince Charles Day on the other side of the tracks. Here he is with Miss Batman.
And Britain's budding young snooker pro there.
Yeah. Oh, God. Charles meet with the Kids Company in Lambeth.
Looks like she ate them.
Yes. Here we go. It turns out that Alan Yentob, as this was all going on, is one of the chairs and main advocates for Kids Company. I don't know. Do you want to cover some of this?
Yeah, no, I think this is the one you've got up here. I can go onto the link after if you'd like.
Yes.
Is this the one where he was in the studio?
Yes.
Or whatever else?
The Guardian has been bizarre in its belated defence of Kids Company, the indefensible scam. But during the collapse of it, they were a bit more on message. What you'll notice in this, as we go further, is the narrative here changes about 7 times. Mm. And then it just collapses and disappears for a while. But this article here is about the fact that the BBC's Director General had decided to stand behind the director. Yeah, stood behind the Radio 4 producer while the charity's founder was interviewed on the Today's programme in July. It was intimidating. I regret it, Yentob told MPs last week. This is the chairman of the charity who's been using the BBC as his own personal megaphone for this charity. Alan Yentob, for those who don't know, oh God, yes, he is. Like a million times over, he is the merchant's merchant. But apart from that, he's also just disgusting and one of the most well-documented liars in British public life. But Alan Yentob decided to, stand behind and pressure the producer while this flamboyant scamming woman was on the radio, so she wouldn't be asked any awkward questions.
I mean...
Because as we'll notice, when you actually see her trying to engage in questioning, she comes across like a child.
I must admit, too, I think I, like Alan Yentob, yeah, if shit both literally and figuratively hit the fan, would also stand behind Camilla Batman-Gaylidge.
That's true. But this is the incestuous relationship here. The entire establishment was wrapped up in this. And when you see later, as the abuse allegations start flying, someone like Alan Yentob coming out from on high and saying, that penniless abused child who says were abused, no, they didn't. No, they weren't.
Mm.
And
but these are the same.
No, you can't say that.
You've got to listen to the children. Yeah. You can't blame them for anything. I mean, there's this little snippet here.
Here we go. Well, this is how far he... Like, Alan Yentob went around saying... ridiculous lies.
Well, I was going to say, it was all about bolstering narratives.
Yes.
At the BBC, he used his position to pressure people not to put out reports.
Yes.
He then used his position at the BBC when writing emails on behalf of Kids Company to MPs. He wrote of, there would be arson attacks on government buildings and parts of London would descend into savagery. Modern slavery and starvation would run rampant as a consequence of Kids Company not receiving a £3 million grant that year.
The charity's Kids Company sent an email to the government warning of a high risk of arson attacks on government buildings if the charity were to close. BuzzFeed and BBC Newsnight have learned. The message was contained in a document sent to Cabinet Office on 2nd of June by the charity chair, Alan Yentob.
Oy vey, if you don't give our child trafficking money,
if you don't give our child firebomb your traffic,
we'll firebomb your public buildings if you don't give my charity. Don't give my charity its funding.
Thank you, Alan Yentob. Extremely in character.
The Cabinet Office has acknowledged that it received the documents, but said the memo was not responsible for the eventual decision to give the charity the funds.
And this man's the head of the fucking BBC. How is anyone supposed to get a fair shake against this fat Iranian woman scam with Alan fucking Yentob sat there going, if you close my charity, buildings will be firebombed.
Worth checking the chats there. I think there might have been one or two that come in we might have missed.
Yes, we'll make sure.
There's a tenner there from Moped Man. Please tell me she passed childless and has been removed from the gene pool. I don't think she could ever fit in a pair of jeans, but we all get that pint on you. Thank you. It's very frustrating how organised charities like this have become synonymous with charity as a concept. Funny you say that. Thank you, Salad Fork, for your Canadian Canuckistani Copex.
For your Canuck Bucks, yes.
Canuckistani Copex. But yes, there's also the whole bizarre sort of nonsense that was the Parliamentary Select Committee as well, involving both Yentob and her at the same time. And we've got a couple clips of this. Will we just stick these up and then we'll chat about it?
Give me a second here. Let me pause this. Sorry. Let me double check I'm not blowing your ears out, first of all.
But yeah, so we'll go for these clips.
It has been remarked to me
that
for such a senior and interested figure from the BBC to stand beside the producer, so that the producer is thinking what I say to whoever is interviewing the interviewee is going to be heard by a very senior figure who has a conflict of interest in this matter. Don't you think that was...
They invited me to be on the programme. And I said, well, I'll bring
Camilla.
Then you
should behave more like a guest rather than as a...
Well, I think, in all of this, you do have to understand that for all these years, I've been there to support these children. I have disclosed my position. I'm not a particularly...
In retrospect, was it really appropriate for you to go and stand behind the producer so you could hear what he was telling you?
I didn't stand behind the producer. Well, you see it differently. I just thought I was there to listen to what Camilla said, and this is an organisation that I'm familiar with, so
but
perhaps...
But in retrospect, was it a...
Well, if it was intimidating, I regret it, put it that way, yes.
I think that's a good thing to have put on the record.
Yes.
Yes. One more, guys. We've got another quick clip here. I think I just removed it from the timestamps. Give me a sec.
An increasingly combative Camilla Batman-Gelic threw her own questions back.
I would like to ask you on what basis you've decided that this is a failing charity. Hold on.
There was incredulity at some of Kids Company's spending decisions.
How do you help someone's mental health by buying them a pair of shoes that cost £150?
The way you've put that question is really unjust.
And Mr. Yentob claimed the end of Kids Company could even be linked to a loss of life.
5 days after Kids Company closed, a boy was murdered. He was going to the crime prevention centres, which were closed. There were stabbings. There were forced suicide attempts. I haven't talked about this, but I'm now telling you that these things happened.
After the hearing, he told me he was satisfied he'd...
Children are dying. I think that's a very unkind question why I gave that chat.
On a second listen there to that, the £150 shoes.
Nonce cover up. Who are you paying off with £150 shoes, you fat bitch? What awful. I mean, look at that testimony. If you didn't believe that kids were being nonced before it, you sure do now. It's just that was there, and they got away with this.
Getting away with it. I don't think we really need to add too much comment onto those. I think those clips gonna just stand for themselves, to be frank.
Well, we have two competing cover-ups here. Either Kids Company was such a ridiculous scam that it didn't interact with any children barely at all.
Yes.
And so it was unable to abuse children because its model didn't involve children. It involved fundraising and fund spending. And it actually seems that many of the people who volunteered for Kids Company said that they weren't worried for the children. They just never saw them.
Except from the other people who gave testimony to say the fact that they did work with the children and were abused by other members of staff.
Yes. Things that didn't go away all disappeared into inquiries.
These two lines of questioning, as you say, intersected across one another, flooding the zone with shit, as we'd say, or as Steve Bannon would put it years ago, meaning that no one really got to the bottom of either. I would like to scroll down here particularly, though, because I think the comment from Yentob down at the bottom here? Where is it? Somewhere.
Is it here?
It should be. Scroll up a second again.
There it is.
Yes. Wait, is it in that one? This is... No, sorry, it's in the next BBC link I've got.
Okay. Well, here's The Guardian. Cotton Gyan says, no evidence found to justify referring allegations of fitness sex abuse to prosecutors. It just was just made to go away.
But the thing is as well, these allegations were made in the month or two preceding all the financial aspects. They were then supposedly investigated at the same time and then dropped once the finance thing was all sort of squashed away. Yes, somewhere in here is the Yentob comment. There we go.
Yes.
Now, I think this is a particular example of everything we are up against.
Yes.
The charity's chairman, Alan Yentob, who is the BBC's creative director,
formerly the head.
But this is also in the BBC as well, mind you. There is no evidence that we were informed about a sexual abuse case. So you could have been informed, but there is no evidence about it. I think this amount of rumour and allegation and counter-allegation is disgraceful. Yentob's comment in the BBC demonstrate the manner in particular which top-down control in managerial societies manifests. Total vertical integration across arms of supposedly separated quasi-governmental organisations allowed for elites like him to wield considerable power at an absolute whim, and just to simply close up shop when convenient and leave no one accountable for God knows whatever these people did, how much money they actually did touch, and whoever else they brought into this.
Well, here we get to the most depressing part of the story. It gets worse.
But I think that there is a...
Let me, sorry, go on here.
No, I was going to say, it's a final thing to that.
Yeah.
Given this process of vertical integration from the top at the government, at the cabinet level, down to Camilla Batman Gaelidge and a little charity on the street. But this is how this legitimacy thing we were talking about a couple of weeks ago can be reversed and inverted and twisted in a million other ways. You can use this thing to make yourself look good until it's no longer convenient to you, and then you evacuate the thing with the help of Alan Yentob and run away from it and get to look like you've done something worthwhile.
Yes, but this is... What happened was Kids Company affair disappeared into an endless public inquiry that took until 2022 to deliver a final report. This was partly due to a concurrent ongoing High Court case to ban the trustees in the procedural sounding official receiver versus Batman Gaelish and others, which, from looking at the court documents, was a deliberately incompetent attempt to ban all of the trustees of the charity, many of which weren't particularly involved in it, from being part of a charity through the High Court, which was not particularly appropriate. And this whole thing went on for years and collapsed and cost the taxpayer £8 million. But once again, though, this was kept in an endless legal process for years. As soon as this happened, a report came out that was then immediately challenged in the High Court. But I'll get to it here. England and Wales Charity Commission released a result of inquiry into Kids Company. On 20th of August, the Charity Commission launched a statutory inquiry into the keeping of Kids Company following the charity having to cease trading earlier that month. I guess a backdrop of financial examination, issues with funding and donors, and a police inquiry into the allegations of sexual abuse. On February 22nd, 2022, the Charity Commission finally released the result of this inquiry, having waited until a High Court case brought by the official receiver against the trustees was considered. So here we go. An inquiry launched in 2015 delivers its results 7 years later.
Although the High Court judgment dismissed the official receiver's claim that the trustees were unfit to act as charity trustees or company directors again, and praised the care and commitment the trustees showed in highly challenging circumstances, the Charity Commission found that there was evidence of mismanagement of Kids Company, not least in the case of late and missed payments to HMRC. Oh.
Staff and other creditors due to financial issues. But, however, the approach the Commission had taken has been criticised by The Guardian for not doing enough to set the record straight.
But it's the fact that, oh, and they just didn't pay the tax bill on the right time.
This fat Iranian woman and Alan Yentob took £8 million from Coldplay and could only point to about four kids they'd helped.
Yeah.
And this is the end result. This is what happens when the charity scam gets revealed. There are endless legal wranglings. A Kids Company update, Charity Commission inquiry into Kids Company collapsed and reviewed by High Court. 2023, it's still going on. 2025, vindicated. Kids Company wins landmark legal battle against Charity Commission. Basically, the Charity Commission was told to reword minorly a couple of bits. But this is the new Kids Company founder, Camilla Batman-Gillis, wrote of how she used and this is what leftists get told. Leftists get told, no, your money's safe. Camilla, unpronounceable name, got caught giving 150 quid worth of shoes and having no accounts.
And having a swimming pool.
And having the support.
And paying for private education.
And having the support of David Cameron and the head of the BBC to cover up whatever horrible things were going on at Kids Company. But don't you worry.
But you need to convince your geriatric parents with a £1 million house to leave half of that and they're well to some progressive charity.
All that disgusting graft you saw in those undeniable interviews, those undeniable clips of these people stumbling over themselves, unable to account for the millions of pounds they've embezzled, leads here. Oh, don't worry. Kids Company was exonerated.
Because
the High Court said
it was irrational and unbalanced and one-sided, and he criticised the extremely unfair innuendo of the Charity Commission. The report wrongly perpetuated the stigma.
They've turned the therapeutic language back on it. Excuse me, I think you asking me why I bribed a vulnerable young person with 150 quid worth of shoes is a very unkind question. That's the world you live in. That's the world you think you're going to reform through the process, by the way. This process resulted in no one being punished, nothing being revealed, and everything disappearing into a cloud of confusion. And you think you're going to do lawfare against Hope Not Hate. Again, this is why I think a lot of people are mentally disabled politically in a very clear way, because they do not understand how the system works. Hegemony means hegemony. Things are sewn up. The head of the BBC will come out and say, you're a wrong'un. We're doing it for the children, and you'll look like a fool. And it doesn't matter how right you are, it doesn't matter how much evidence you have, it doesn't even matter how ridiculously these people behave publicly. They win, and you lose, because they are in power, and you are not. And we've been saying this for so many... I know this is a bit of a... It's a worked example here, but I implore you to look at this unresolved mess. What? These court cases, decades of them.
There's a little comment you've got at the bottom of the notes we have here. All panhandling is a scam, especially organised panhandling.
Yes. Well, it's just Kids Company can be both an appalling scam and a large charity functioning as expected. What did you think would happen when a bunch of people panhandled? We're going to do the charity industrial complex, but yes, all panhandling... They're panhandling, stupid. If someone shows you an image of a crying child and asks you for money, they're panhandling. And if you give them money, you're a rube, you're an idiot, and they'll laugh at you. Like Alan Yentob tried to laugh at people during the parliamentary proceedings there. Oh, well, it's for the children. We took all this money for the... What do you mean? You know it's a scam. I know it's a scam. All the celebrities know it's a scam. Why are you doing this to me?
Mm.
Everything else is a scam. Why are you doing this to me? That's the attitude here. Why are you doing this to me? The suckers gave me the money willingly.
Yeah.
And the suckers gave the money to your scam as well. Why are you doing this to me?
But it's the thing, I think, as well, the fact that nothing changed from 1996 to 2015. As far as I can tell, Kids Company was fulfilling the same remit, the same standard over that period of time in a way that didn't really warrant investigation beyond some slight audit stuff. But what was agreed upon was the fact that this was okay.
Yes.
This was all okay until it wasn't.
Yes.
It's subjective. It's totally arbitrary. And what we also have to consider as a complete under sort of text of all of this is that it's a bloody kids charity operating in Britain that was hushed away very quickly. Who knows what the hell was really going on?
Well, also, really, it seems the Charity Commission has effectively said that, yes, Kids Company was a scam, but everything else was a scam. And Kids Company's mistake was running out of money and getting caught.
Yes.
They got caught operating as a racket, and they nearly, well, from the Charity Commission's eyes, they nearly brought down the whole racket with them. And that's not allowed, is it?
No.
And so, again, the whole...
This is why, yeah, as you see, if someone was to go out there and shoot down fucking Hope Not Hate, it wouldn't be for my benefit or your benefit or anyone else's benefit. It would be for the benefit of the Charity Commission that's saving its arse. But I found this while I was looking earlier on. And if anyone really, as I suggest, wants to go down this line, somewhere on Batman Gaelic's Wikipedia, there is a little comment about the galleries had oversight in the Tate and somewhere else in London, featuring art directly from kids that Kids Company worked with that were abused. And they tried to describe this abuse through the artwork itself. If you want to go looking for
Podesta,
that, yes. You want to go looking for that, you can go look for it yourself. However, we'll go to the little email quote we've got at the bottom of the stream here. On the stream, sorry, the article here.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you want to get the...
Yeah, before I do that, we'll do it. Thank you, Shrubbery, for a few more donations. Yeah, but who created Coldplay to begin with? The trails of dough for charities are... Yeah. Yes, the trails of dough for charities are often untraceable. That's one of the problems with it. Oh, we are just a charity. If it isn't a charity, they use another way. Cities always invent new ways to conceal their tracks. But it's the insidiousness of this is what altruism has become in most people's minds. Altruism is something to be managerialized.
You can't engage in altruism without this stuff.
Yes, there is a layer inserted between you and the altruistic impulse called the charity. And this is what it is in all its managerial glory. But yes, Kids Company founder Camilla Batman-Gillis wrote how she used loving blackmail to secure funding.
I believe this was...
Shall I get the little thing
here? That's the quotes at the bottom here.
Fuck off. Here we go.
Oh, there we go. Yes, so this was internal communication between her and other individuals of Kids Company in 2013.
Yes.
They had just received a grant of £4.5 million from Whitehall. And in Batman Gaelic's own words, there was definitely loving blackmail, arm twisting, and all manner of ghetto strategies before we got to this point. But you know what? We love politicians. We have compassion for them. And we are always waiting to rehabilitate them.
Read between the lines. Thank you, and have an extremely black pill evening.
But do enjoy the nice weather if you have some over the weekend and go to the pub.
Oh, go to the pub. Ooh. We'll see you later.